This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
Ah, Paris. If you've listened to Solo Travel Talk before, then you know that your solo travel advisor, Astrid Clements, loves Paris. In fact, Astrid is right now on the cusp of returning to the City of Lights. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien. Of course, Astrid shares about Paris on this episode, but there are also bigger themes of mood, revisiting a place rather than going somewhere new, plus, of course, planning an optimal trip. Commençons le spectacle. Here's Astrid. Astrid, how do you personally weigh going somewhere new versus returning to a place that you love?
Well, Catherine, feeling like the modern-day Marco Polo, my instinct is always that I want to explore a new destination. So it's really hard for me to want to revisit a place that I've been to before. But I have to say there's certain places that I fall in love with that I really feel so comfortable there. It's like I've been there before. I kind of sometimes have a little deja vu flashes or whatever, like, well, maybe in a previous life I lived here. I mean, you have funny thoughts that come through your mind, but there's certain places that I really feel more in sync for, and I want to return there. It's kind of like a homesickness. I have some kind of draw to it, and I guess you'd say it's just kind of like one of these places where I'm just happy. It's a happy place. So the tug between exploring somewhere new versus returning to my personal special place, the tug is always strong for me. But I have to say that there's several key factors that lead to the decision between going somewhere new versus going somewhere old. I'd say the first thing is really I always think about is what I'm in the mood for. Do I want a city or countryside? Do I want to go back to the Cotswolds? I spent one summer where I drove all through there, Stratford-on-Avon, blah, 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 and I loved it. But do I want to go back there? Is that something that I'm yearning for versus going to Bristol in England when I go back to England, or Manchester or York up in the north, which I haven't done those areas? So I always think about what am I in the mood for if I want to go to England, or England is the target area, or wherever. Also, do I want a relaxation, or do I want to pound the pavement discovering a new destination? I mean, am I geared up for, say, going around the world again and doing all these different cities, or do I just want to go to Venice for a month and just live there, kind of? It's just what you're in the mood for. Do you want beaches, mountains, or do you want to go somewhere where you'll just take a two-week course, some kind of learning experience? Cultural enrichment, is that what you feel like you need versus basically just completely a wellness detox experience? Or outdoor activities. There's so many places now that people are traveling to, that hikers are hiking across England, or people are biking through Italy on food excursions, etc. So you have to decide really, in my opinion, first of all, what really do you need in terms of your mood or your psyche? Then how much time do you have for a trip? And how much money are you willing to spend or you have available to go somewhere? So you have these time money factors on whether you want to go back to somewhere versus somewhere new this year or, say, next year. Also, maybe 1, 2, 3 trips really wasn't enough to do everything you were interested in experiencing a place. So it definitely makes you want to return. And key cities like that are Paris, Venice, Marrakesh, Bangkok. I mean, there's so many things there that it's hard to do them in 1, 2, 3 trips. Plus, it's almost an overload. You have to kind of take a break and then go back and do another set of things, etc. And there's also maybe special reasons to go to a place. Say there's a special event there, or you even have a family reunion, or you get a special invitation to attend something. So these are really kind of the basic whys: when, how long, how much. They're the key factors that I use to make my decision, whether to go somewhere new or return to a place that kind of feels like a home away from home or a happy place. This leads me to share with the audience why I will be returning to Paris in November, for I think this might be my 10th trip to the City of Lights, which really is my favorite city in the world. If there is a such thing as reincarnation, which I don't believe or disbelieve because I just don't know. I'm a Christian, so I can't go too deep into whether it really exists. It doesn't matter to me. But if it is so, I hope to be reincarnated in my next life as a Parisian. Because I feel like I was one in the past. I just feel so at home in Paris. But after my last trip this year, Catherine, to Cartagena, I was really tapped out in terms of money and time for any more trips in 2018, because I just have recently earmarked spending some more money improving my website, Astrid Solo Travel Advisor, which you can Google me if you are interested in all kinds of solo travel information at astridtravel.com. I've hired a fabulous new young blogger and digital marketing person, and you'll be hearing from her because she'll be doing some podcasts. Her name is Madeline Ferrette. I have so many things that I need to focus on with the website, the Solo Travel Talk, that are exciting that I want to get put in place. So I really just did not have any time as well as any more money to spend traveling. So that's what I had decided, that basically the last part of the year is going to be focused on developing and improving Astrid Solo Travel Advisor and Solo Travel Talk. But as fate would have it, a very special invitation to a unique event came my way really a little over 2 months ago. I was invited by my bank, JP Morgan Private Client Division, to attend its pre-exhibition event at the Grand Palais in Paris, basically the Paris Photo Show, in November. And when I first got the invitation, I thought, oh gosh, this sounds really cool. But it's really a by invitation only to see this wonderful exhibition, which will showcase J.P. Morgan's world-class photography collection. And the invitation list are for people all over the world. And the more I thought about it in the Grand Palais, I just thought, oh my gosh, this is so fabulous. I'll never get any kind of invitation like this again. And let me just give you a little bit more information about how wonderful this particular event is. First of all, the Paris Photo Show has been going on for over 20 years now, and it showcases the best photographers and photography galleries and works of the top photographers from all over the world. It's the largest international art fair dedicated to the photographic medium. This is the creme de la creme of photography. They usually have around 200 exhibitors, and you'll see historic and contemporary photography, modern masters, also the young, new, up-and-coming talent. They'll have specialized publishers there with art books, unique rare editions, and you can buy all these. Lots of what will be exhibited will be for sale. Then there'll be art talks where there's conversations by curators, artists, collectors, and critics. So you can learn all kinds of things at these art talks about photography that you basically would have to read in a book, or you might not ever hear. So it's a congress or a meeting of all of these fabulous people who love and who are into photography, as well as they'll have some special events. They go into the history of photography, emerging trends of photography. There's usually over 50,000 people that go to this Paris Photo Show every year, whether they're collectors, professional photographers, young photographers, travel photographers, but people who are interested in photography. They give awards for the best photograph of a face or faces, night photography. There's award for timeline photography, storyboard. There are all kinds of different genres of photography that you can learn about and see who wins the best, etc. And by being invited by J.P. Morgan before the show is even open to the public, you have the ability to buy the works before the public comes. And we'll have a special tour for the attendees to see it. So I thought that was wonderful. And then the J.P. Morgan collection itself, called This Must Be Place, it will showcase a selection of the works that their photography collection has from the 19th century to the present, which some of the photographs will be by Diane Arbus, Ansel Adams, Peter Kamas, Lee Friedlander, Hiroshi Sugimoto, Robert Frank, and the photographers themselves are going to be attending this. So I don't know which ones, the living ones, will be there or not. But basically, this is an extremely highbrow event. Wow. And the more I thought about the invitation, the more I knew in my craw, as my father would say, and you know, I'm from Louisiana, so we have a lot of sayings, I just had to go. I just thought, I'll never get an invitation like this. Just the whole thought of it was like so fabulous. So I had to figure out how to make the time and squeeze out the money, basically, or make a way to go. But once again, my travel muses stepped in and fate took its course. I had enough miles on my J.P. Morgan Visa Sapphire credit card to pay for my flight and a fabulous boutique five-star hotel, the Hotel Raphael, for 7 nights. So, and of course, the entrance into the photography show is free. So it's a done deal. All I had to do is scrape up some money for eating and shopping, which I'll just have to curb this time. But it gave me a way to go back to my favorite place in the whole wide world and spend a completely different type of trip and attend this wonderful affair. So, sorry for such a long answer, Catherine, but with me, whether I'm going somewhere completely new or returning to a favorite place, I usually have some kind of real substantive reason to go.
Well, that sounds like an amazing reason to go. I mean, how could you pass that up? Now, that's really an activity, but I know that the last time that you went to Paris, you had a theme, kind of making the differentiation here between theme and activity. Do you have a theme for this trip?
Absolutely. Photography will be one of the themes for the trip. And the second theme will be discovering the 16th arrondissement, which this is a neighborhood where the old Parisians, or many of the aristocratic Parisians, have lived in this area and still live in this area of Paris. It's a neighborhood that they describe as the chic Paris or the posh Paris. I mean, of course, you've got the Left Bank and you've got the 8th District or the 8th arrondissement, which is beautiful and very coveted and the first to live in. But the 16th is where the real old money in very, very aristocratic Parisians have lived for generations. And oddly, most visitors to Paris never explore or stay in this neighborhood because it doesn't really have the top tourist attractions of the city. And me included. I have spent most of my times on all my travels either in the 1st, the 6th, the 7th, or the 8th. But this area, to many travelers' surprise, has really some of the most wonderful restaurants, museums, gardens, and architecture of all of Paris. Because, like I said, this is where the old wealth of Paris still lives, and consequently, there is a lot of quality things here to experience, a whole lot. So what led me to focus on this area is really twofold, but oddly, it does revert back to photography. It's so weird. First, my father, who was a major in the U.S. Army during World War II, as part of his military duties, and maybe not totally part of his official duties, he was involved in supplying some key Parisians with weapons and supplies and this kind of thing to the French resistance forces that ended up liberating Paris from the Nazi occupation. So his two main contacts, who actually became close friends of his, were Jacques Lacroix, who was a media baron, and Cosette Harcourt, who had the most legendary photography studio in all of Europe before, during, and after World War II. Studio Harcourt photographed all the rich and famous of the day. Everybody wanted a photograph done by Cosette Harcourt and have that Studio Harcourt stamp or signature on the photograph. It was a real status symbol. So from the very wealthy, the politicians, movie stars, Brigitte Bardot, Marlene Dietrich, Edith Piaf, Salvador Dali. I mean, you could go on and on. Everybody who was anybody went through Studio Harcourt was photographed. Because this was when photography was really kind of getting into that movie star or that more, I would say, emotive type of photography and very black and white using light and everything. So Jacques Lacroix and Madame Harcourt lived in the 16th arrondissement. Wow. And they lived at 49 Avenue Diana, as well as the studio was in this beautiful mansion. So my father and I, the listeners don't know, but I was very close, and he told me all kinds of things about his life during the war, etc. And so I knew all about Studio Harcourt and his time he spent in Paris. And I even have some of his old photographs that Cosette took of him. He actually had 5 sittings where she did photographs of him, beautiful photographs, and my father was extremely handsome. And I myself have actually had my photo taken at Studio Harcourt. And I want to share this because it's so funny how this trip, it was spurred by photography, this invitation by my bank to go to this very exclusive photography show. And my father's connection to this famous photography studio and these very aristocratic Parisians that really influenced and changed his life to the point where he seriously thought about maybe sending me to high school in Paris, but he didn't go that far. But I remember my first trip to Europe, and I was going to be in Paris for a week. He told me, he said, Astrid, go to 49 Avenue Diana, knock on the door and see if Jacques and Madame Harcourt still live there. So, of course, I did it. And I went there and a doorman opened the door and he said, oh, yeah, they're still alive. Just wait a minute. I'll see if they'll see you. So he came back and he said, they will be delighted to meet you and come right up. So I entered this I mean, I thought, oh my God, this is something else. One of these Parisian, what they call hotels, and they're really like city mansions. And they had these grand staircases with red carpeting on it, and they go one way or the other. And they have several apartments or whatever in there. And, you know, it could be a whole family that lives in there, or like them, they had their studio hall call there. And Jacques probably earlier had some of his media business doings there. But this is where my father met them and was involved with some of the things they wanted to do to liberate Paris. And they taught him things about the French and Paris. And it just really changed his whole life. He just felt like that, oh my gosh, this culture is so wonderful and everything. So I had a beautiful, I would probably spend about 2.5 hours with him having tea and something to eat, talking about different things. And my father, and I gave Jacques the secret code sentence that my father had. And then they gave me some mementos when I left. Well, it was actually she gave me from her collection a marble turtle. And from his, he gave my father a brass boar as to bring back as a token of the connection and the love that is always there. And on top of that, she said, Astrid, Studio Hocal will photograph you when you're here in Paris. And so not the next day, but the following day, it was arranged for me to have a sitting. So I had a sitting in 1969 at Studio Harcourt. So this trip, I really want to retrace my steps, or my father's really steps in this neighborhood. And I will be returning again and have my photograph done one more time at Studio Harcourt. And this will be my trip souvenir. Now, Jacques and Cosette, they've long since died. I think she died in the 70s and he died in the early 80s. But the French government took over the negatives, and they have a library and you can get photographs done from those negatives. And somebody has bought the studio, and it's still alive and well, and it's still a status symbol to get your photograph there. And I even read in a book, I think Inez de Fernange, or a famous fashion person from France, wrote a book on how to be a Parisian or the best of Paris. And one of the things she says is, you got to get your photograph taken by Studio Harcourt. I'm so excited about all this. I'm going to do a whole feature podcast solely on Paris and photography. And of course, I'll be sharing my experience at the Paris Photo Show and my return visit to Studio Harcourt. And I say all this because I'm showing you how I'm building a theme, or how certain things happen. I end up deciding to go back somewhere and take a trip that I didn't even feel like I really should spend the money or had the time. But the last point I want to make, photography is something so many travelers are really getting into, because the cameras are so wonderful now, and even the photographs you can take with the smartphone, and how you memorialize your travels, it just makes your travel experience even more memorable, because you might experience something and do it, but when you take photographs and you come back home and you look at them, and even years past, you will see things that you didn't see when you were there. It's amazing. And it captures moments in a way that you can really relive them. So people are loving photography, and it's so much easier now to create beautiful photographs. So people are into it. And that was another reason why I thought, well, I'm getting this invitation. My father loved to take photographs. I knew all about Studio Harcourt. Paris is the most photogenic city in the world, or one of them. And I couldn't turn it down. So bottom line, look for my future podcast on Paris and photography. I really think it's going to be super interesting, just how it's all evolved. So I'll kind of sum up the answer to your question. There'll be two main focuses of this upcoming trip: Paris and photography, and then the posh Paris, things to do in the 16th arrondissement.
I love it. And also, this is the purpose of this for our listeners, is to see how you kind of craft the entire trip so that people can mimic what you're doing. So you've given us a little bit of the theme. You've given us a little bit of, you know, sort of the flagship activity. What about some of the other things you're expecting? You said that this is your 10th, oh my gosh, 10th trip to Paris. Let us in on some of your plans, your specific plans, and maybe even kind of going to that higher level of how you came up with these plans.
Okay. Well, for my regular Solo Travel Talk listeners, you know I'm a serious planner. Plan your work and work your plan, basically, is a discipline I learned in school that forms the basis of my solo travel philosophy. To me, pre-trip planning and research are the key to all of successful or my successful, enjoyable, and enriching solo travel adventures. I mean, the more I plan and research, I understand the culture, I know the key things I want to go, I know the restaurants where I want to dine, all of that, and I put it together into itineraries, etc. When I land there, I am ready to go. I already kind of know the things I'm going to experience. So I'm able to slide in and absorb it and get with the flow and really start experiencing and living it to the fullest. So the planning is very key. And I say here, the more you plan, research, and know what you want to do and what you expect before you take your trip, the more memorable your trip will be and will definitely be less stressful and much more fun. So what I always do for every trip that I take is I start with a basic travel journal. You can go to Walgreens and get a little spiral notebook, or you can get something real fancy. It depends on your taste. But you need to get that first. And as you're doing your research, make your list of the museums you want to go to, the restaurants, shopping spots, key sites, entertainment venues. Write down basic information that you want to remember about it, the address for certain, and if you have to make reservations or whatever, how you would do that with the contact information, etc. So you start writing all this down so you don't forget it or you don't have to go back and reread it. It's all there, and you can sift through it and decide what you want to do and what is not as important. Then the next thing I kind of start doing is I create flexible daily itineraries that basically I kind of group my activities in certain key zones. And I even go to the point where I download a map or I peg them on the map. So I will minimize the logistical time that I need to go from one place to the other. Say if I want to go to the botanical gardens, I want to eat at a certain restaurant and a museum, etc. I try to get the ones that are closest to each other that I want to do and do that in one afternoon. And then go to another area and do a couple of things in that area. I don't pick a restaurant in this area, then go to this museum, and then have to go to a whole nother area to go to the gardens. Oh my God, that's a whole day, whether you could do it in a half a day. So I spend a lot of time doing that. And I know a lot of people don't want to spend the time or they don't have the time to do it. But if you can do it, oh, it will take so much stress out of your trip. You'll definitely see more and you'll have a better trip. Now, yeah, I can't put this in the journal, but I learned a lot of information by watching YouTube videos, and they really help me decide most everything that I want to do or that I think is important to do, from where to stay to what restaurant to where to shop. I mean, you'd be surprised. Videos that bloggers make, or just regular people who are travelers, or hotel videos that are made by corporate, etc. You have so much visual information now that is available on the internet, and it is great to get you acclimated into where you're going and to decide what you want to do. You'll be surprised by just watching the videos. You'll see how people are dressed. You'll kind of have a feeling of where certain things are. You absorb so much visually. It's very helpful for you to decide what you want to do before you go there. So you jot all this down, or you mark things out of your journal, etc. So here's my Paris trip itinerary, the basic trip, and then my daily itineraries that I want to say are merely a guide, because even the best laid out plans by somebody like me, who is a super planner, don't ever exactly work out like you think they will. But it really is the best way to stay focused and not waste a lot of time. They're very important, because that's very easy for a solo traveler to do. Once they don't have things well planned out, then they'll let this slide. They just won't do things, and they'll miss a lot. They'll miss a lot. Okay, so I leave for this particular trip on the 4th of November, and that's basically the travel day. And that's a typical travel day from the U.S. to Europe. You get up, you have to be at the airport around 8. My flight leaves from New Orleans to Atlanta. Then I catch a plane at almost 4 to Charles de Gaulle, Paris. I land at around 6 in the morning. So I will be there with very little sleep, because I don't really sleep on planes anymore. It doesn't matter how wonderful the business class is. I just don't really sleep in them. If I sleep, it's usually on the way back, because I'm completely spent out. I'm so exhausted. I have worn myself out to France. But I guess I'm like a child still. I'm so excited to go. I can't relax. I can't wait to go. So I land on Monday, and this is what I call jet lag day. It's a day after the long flight anywhere you go. So what I try to do on my jet lag day is really wear myself out so I can really sleep that first night away from home soundly, because you're going to be in a different bed, in a different place, and that usually takes you a couple of nights to get used to. So boy, you want to try to be dead tired that first night. So I check into my fabulous hotel, the Hotel Raphael, which I'm so excited to go to. And what I usually do is I always check in and I unpack. After that, I'm going to hit the streets, and I've already know the neighborhood. I've studied the streets. I'm going to my first target, or the first place I'm going to visit, is the Jardin de Cerise, or something like that, de Auteuil. And please, all the listeners, I have no ability to speak French or sound French. So please, please forgive me, because I know it's so bad. But I'm going to the beautiful botanical gardens that date back to 1761 in Louis X in the 16th arrondissement. Oh, I can't wait. There are 4 botanical gardens here in this jardin. So this is where my first stop will be. And to get there, I'll be walking, like I said, down Avenue Victor Hugo, Rue de la Pompe, Avenue Mozart, and then taking a right on Rue de d'Auteuil to the Botanical Gardens. I know how to get there now. I'm just visualizing it. But these are the kinds of things that I do. So once I get there, I'm just into it. I can see what's on the street. I might even stop at a cafe on the way if it strikes me. It's familiar to me, even though it's not totally. So then after a couple of hours of photo taking and in the botanical gardens and just being in Paris, I'll leave and go to the subway and catch line one and go to Les Sablons. And this takes me to the stop where I will visit the foundation of Louis Vuitton, which is on Avenue du Mahatma Gandhi. And I actually know exactly where that is, and it's only a couple of blocks from my hotel. But this is the fabulous, new, unbelievably stunning building done by the Louis Vuitton Foundation by Frank Gehry, the famous architect. This building is so unbelievable. It's hard to describe. It looks like some kind of ship with fish scales on it and sails. I mean, it's just fantastical. It's just beautiful and very elegant. But it is now a center of modern art. It has 11 galleries filled with contemporary art. Plus, the building has four different levels, so you can go up to the top levels and you have a fabulous view of the Bois de Boulogne, which is the big central park, basically, of Paris, and also of Paris. Right now, they've got two exhibitions there. One is Jean-Michel Basquiat, which is one of the most significant painters of the 20th century, as well as Egon Schiele, who is an early 20th century Viennese artist. The permanent collection, they have Japanese art, African artworks, pop and music genre, as well as expressionism. So I'm so excited to go to this museum because my last trip last year, this was on my list. But as the trip, the ebb and flow, I just couldn't make it there because it was actually away from where most of the things we were doing. It was in the 16th. It wasn't in the 8th or the 1st. Then that will probably be starting late afternoon. I'll walk some more and then get to, I've chosen a restaurant. It's a brasserie named La Stella, and it's on Avenue Victor Hugo, which is only two blocks from my hotel. I mean, I actually have these places in my mind now, and I'm sharing that with my listeners because when you can do that, when you know where the subway station is, when you kind of know it and you get there, it will be so easy. It's not actually like home, but it's getting close to that. But I intend to eat seafood at this fabulous restaurant because that's their specialty. Then after that, I'll go back to my hotel in the Hotel Raphael. One of the things that they're famous for, and Google them if you want to know about a really fabulous, old, real Parisian, old world Paris hotel that is maintained to perfection, that is so fabulous. This is the Hotel Raphael, and it has one of the best, and this was also an Inez Della, whatever her last name is, what is to have a nightcap or to have a drink on the rooftop bar of the Hotel Raphael. It is spectacular. You can see everything of importance, the Eiffel Tower, Arc de Triomphe, Sacré-Cœur, everything. But at night, in the morning, this rooftop restaurant and bar is just an it place in Paris. And it's for people who live in the neighborhood and who kind of know of this area. There are a lot of embassies in this area too, so you've got a lot of foreign dignitaries there. But here again, it's not where the normal travelers are. So you're not going to have a lot of this real tourism kind of traffic in there. So I'm very excited. So I intend to get a good night's sleep that first night and crash. I'm going to try to just wear myself out. And I usually can do it. I'm not worried about it. Okay, second day is Tuesday. That's the J.P. Morgan day. In the morning, I'm going to go to Musée d'Orsay, which is close to the hotel. And I haven't been there in the last 20 years. So I need a rejolt of the Musée d'Orsay and to see those beautiful expressionistic art paintings, sculpture, decorative arts, photography. That is so French. And so what you associate France with, that period of painting. There were so many wonderful artists that were French, and everything, all their works are in the Musée d'Orsay. So I'm going to start the day there. They also have a Picasso exhibition, his Blue and Rose period, which I always liked Picasso because he was just so prolific. He just had so many stages and different themes in his work. I mean, he was truly a genius. But I'm going to cut that off for lunchtime and head over to Le Grand Vefour, which is in the first. I'm going to take a taxi, but it is the first restaurant in Paris. It was opened in 1784 at the Palais Royal. It is still a place where heavyweights go, whether they're from the French cultural scene, the arts, the theater, whatever, politicians. Le Grand Vefour, it's hard to get a reservation there. But I tried the last time I went and I couldn't. But the 19th century neoclassical decor is unbelievable. It's a Michelin star restaurant. I can't wait to go here. That's all I can say. I've wanted to go here for so long. It's like some of the things you've always wanted to do. This has gotten up to that status because it's so authentic and it's still the way really it was. And it's still popular. That's Paris. That's real Paris, okay?
Do you already have your reservation set for that restaurant?
Yes. After that, I will walk through the Palais Royal Gardens, which that's where this restaurant is. And it's this beautiful quadrangle with shops around it. I mean, it was like the place. Now, the shops, there are a lot of empty spaces now because unfortunately, like a lot of very fabulous real estate that was the place, foreigners own it now. They don't really even care to have businesses in it. They just want it for their financial investment. So there's some shops in there, and I probably will kind of look through that. But it's not what it used to be, but it's still beautiful in terms of the sculptured trees, and they have these black and white sculptured rounded cone-looking things. It's kind of a combination now of a contemporary artistic expression in this beautiful classical garden, kind of like the glass pyramid in the courtyard of the Louvre, the same kind of thing. And then once I exit that, I'll start going down Rue de Rivoli. And I love that. I always walk down that street and go in some of those shops. I might even turn off on the Rue de Cambon where Coco Chanel, where Chanel's store is. And it just depends on how much time I have and what the weather's like, etc. And then I'll be headed toward the Champs-Élysées. I'll walk up the Champs-Élysées till I get to the corner of Georges the Cinq and the Champs-Élysées, which that's where the Louis Vuitton flagship store is. And I have a purse that I want to buy. And besides my portrait, my photograph that I'm going to have taken at Studio Harcourt, I want this purse. Because you can get a better deal in France because the VAT tax, etc. So I'm going to do that. After that, I'll either head back to the hotel if I have time to freshen up, or I'll go straight to the J.P. Morgan event because I have different clothes that I know I can wear that will make it a little fancier. And the event really isn't black tie. It's nice, but it's not over the top. Because I think this photography crowd is more like classy casual, that mindset. So I will go to the Grand Palais and stay there as long as it takes me to see the J.P. Morgan exhibit and go through the Paris photo show, all the galleries that I'm interested in. And then after that, I'll head back to my hotel. I'll either walk if I feel like it or catch a cab. And before I go right back to the hotel, I'll go across the street to the Peninsula Hotel, which is right across the street. And that was a hotbed of French resistance activity. And as well as the Hotel Raphael, a lot of things were going on in this area, which was very close to Avenue Deanna. Where I'm staying is where all of that activity went, when the French police were working with the Nazis, but then really double-crossing them and all kinds of stuff. So it has a big history there. It used to be called the Hotel Majestic, but the Peninsula Hotel changed the name when they bought it several years ago. So it'll be another full day that I hope I sleep hard, which I'm sure I will. Then the next day, I probably will begin to get tired, but it's my shopping day, so nothing can wear this shopper out. I can always get up for the shopping day. So I'm going to start my day out early at Café Phuket, which is on the Champs-Élysées, which is only a couple blocks from my hotel. And this place is also such a historic restaurant and brasserie. It was opened first in 1899 on the Champs-Élysées. When the weather's nice, you can sit outside. When it's not, they still have the awnings that go over it, so you can sit outside, but it's basically enclosed. And then the restaurant and the bar itself, oh la la. Very chichi, very French, kind of art deco. And I've been there several times. On my last trip, I went there, but before that, I had skipped it several trips. I'm pretty sure that I went to it my first trip. And maybe because Madame and Jacques Haucourt told me to go there, or I just ended up eating there because it was on the Champs-Élysées or whatever. But I had a familiarity when I went into it last year on my last trip. And I had steak tartare and a glass of wine and a wonderful French fresh salad. It's some of the bread and butter. And I just was going, oh, yes, it doesn't get any better than this for me. So when I went to the restroom, after I asked for the bill, I go through the restaurant and I see all these photographs of famous people on the wall. And I look closely at them, all done by Studio Haucourt. I thought, my God, I must have gone to this because they told me. Or something has drawn me in here. Is my father trying to talk to me from heaven? You know what I'm saying? But it was a magic moment last year. So I'm going to return this year and have breakfast there and take some more photographs and learn a little bit more about this restaurant. Before, I didn't know that they had this connection, but now that I know, I'll just kind of talk to the waiter and try to get more information because I want to do a blog about it. And it also will be part of my Paris and photography experience. And another thing I really realized after I was doing this research for this podcast, etc., I remember in my father's studio, my father had health clubs. He was one of the first in the United States. I think he had, 40 at one time or whatever franchises, but it was called Alvin Roy's Health and Slenderizing Salons. And I remember in the first one he did, where we lived behind the studio, he had a whole photo gallery of famous people that he had come in contact with, that he had either helped in one way or the other, or some about his life. And I had kind of an aha moment this last week. He got that from his experience with Studio Haucourt and going to these places where they put famous people's photographs in. This throws back to Europe. And we see it in New York City in the delicatessens and everything. That comes, I know, from Europe. But in my particular experience is directly from my father, and he did it when he started his business here is a way of creating legitimacy as well as glamour, etc. So I thought that that was really cool. So I'm going back to Phuket for breakfast. Then after that, I head to my favorite street in Paris for shopping. I usually don't buy anything, but I do smell that exotic air because I love fashion. Oh, I just love it. When I see all that, I just... That's what I get. I wish, boy, if I could just wear clothes like this every day. I know I can't, but I just, ooh, I love it. But the flagship Dior store is on Avenue Montaigne. Chanel, Louis Vuitton, Gucci, Escada, Saint Laurent, Givenchy, Balenciaga, Fendi, Valentino, all the best, the greatest, the latest. I mean, it still all starts in Paris for most. And it's all on this one street. Oh, gosh. It's just fabulous. So I'm going to spend the morning there. And I have to kind of be tacky. But at the end of the street, there is a small square. And I have to take a picture at this square every time that I go there. Because the square was dedicated to Queen Astrid, who was the Belgian queen that died an early death in a car crash. And she was very loved, and it's called something Reine de l'Astrid. So I take a picture, Queen Astrid of Belgium's park, at the foot of Avenue Montaigne. Every time I go to Paris. So I have a collage of these photos as I've gotten older. But it's just kind of my thing. So, of course, I'm excited to do that too. Then I'm going to head on over. I have to take a cab to Galeries Lafayette. I always like to go there because it just has a certain vibe. This department store is like the Harrods or the Bergdorf Goodman. Not totally, but similar to that. It's one of these iconic department stores that you can pick up some cool things. They have like their own brand and the styles like belts and they have things that are not quite as expensive as others. And they ship things home for you. I just always like to go there for just a couple of hours or two. I might even get a makeover at one of the makeup stands, like NARS or something, because they'll do it free for you, but get a Parisian to do it. But that will be my pit stop before I go to the opera, which the Opera Garnier, in the beautiful Opera Garnier building, that is a place that I have never been to in all my trips to Paris, and I was a music major who majored in vocal performance, and I wanted to be an opera singer my first time around go at my university. So I cannot believe I've never made it there, to the point where this building is so beautiful. I have a very large oil painting in my bedroom of the classic famous staircase of this building. That tells you how I'm so much into Paris. I didn't even really realize it was a staircase until I had seen it in photographs after I had bought this beautiful painting. But this time is the time that I'm going, because that was actually the number one thing that I wanted to do on this trip, besides the J.P. Morgan event, is to go to Opera Garnier and go to a performance. So I'm going to a ballet, a tribute to Jerome Robbins. And I'm going to take a little tour of the building first. I'm going to take some photographs on the famous double staircase. This building is so unbelievably opulent. It's Second Empire. It is the place where the chandelier that retracts into the roof, that the Phantom of the Opera. I mean, this is where Degas went and painted all the ballerinas, the paintings on the ceilings. This building is like one of those one of a kinds. It's a wonder of the world. It's unbelievable. So I'm so excited to finally do that. And I've already got my ticket. So I want to tell you, too, if there are really special things you want to go to, like dinner reservations or entertainment, You need to try to get that early. You can rely on your concierge, especially if you're staying in a real good hotel. A lot of times they can make it happen. It'll be very expensive, but sometimes they can't make it happen. Then after that, I'm going to have dinner at Café de la Paix, which is very famous right there at the Place de l'Opéra. And I actually think I've eaten there before, because when I Googled the pictures, it looked very familiar, but that's where I'm going to go. And then if I have any more energy left, I'm going to head on over to the Le Bristol Bar for one drink and people watching, because this is such a chichi place in Paris. The thing about Paris is, as a solo traveler, as a solo woman, you can go into very sophisticated bars. And there are women in there who are looking for stuff, but there are also women in there that are very comfortable. They don't care. They're not interested in talking to anybody, but they want to be in just the right place to have just the right cocktail before they retire. They don't want any conversation. They just want to be. So that's what I'm thinking about. If I still have any energy left, I want to go to this particular bar because it's so famous. So I have that on the agenda. We'll see if that happens. Then the next day is Thursday. It's basically the hump day of the trip. And this is the day usually, like the third, fourth day, is when I get the real dropsies. I kind of hit that first brick in the wall and I pull back. I'll either sleep late or maybe I'll decide to get up and then in the afternoon I'll do a spa or I'll do something that is not touring, looking, thinking. I'll just veg out. So if I'm in the mood for that, I'll do that. If not, I head to the 8th Arrondissement, which I'm very familiar with. I can almost tell you every store on the street and everything that you're doing. But I'm one of these people that I guess I'm a little too brand oriented. I love to go into Hermes and look. I've got all kinds of scarves and twillies that I never wear because I live in Louisiana, but I can't help it. But I just like to look more than anything because I love great design. I love to see what's coming out of the new modern fashion houses. Hermes is such a classic, classic design and fashion house of France. And it's usually very different than the others. It's much more aristocratic in a kind of a old world way, but still modern. So I like to go see there, smell the air, try to get it, you know? And buy a scarf. I can't buy another scarf. But I've got to go. If I have the energy. If I don't, I've been there so much, I'm going to just sleep late. Or I'll go to the spa. Because that Peninsula Hotel right across the street has a fabulous spa. One of the best spas in Paris. Okay. Lunch will be at, besides the Café Le Vafour that I told you about, the oldest restaurant, at Epicure. And this is tagged as the Temple of Gastronomy. And it's likewise in the Hotel Le Bristol, where that fabulous bar is. Very hard to get reservations. Have the reservations. It's 3 Michelin star. It is really nice. So I plan to take a 2-hour lunch there. I am going to really get in a Paris frame of mind at that lunch because it's so fabulous. After that, I'm going to head to the Left Bank, which I have a lot of familiarity with. But I love Rue de Bac and I love Boulevard Saint-Germain-des-Prés. There's one museum that I want to go there. Because see, this day, I'm trying to tell you, these are kind of retracing some of my steps that I love. That's where I feel like, oh, I could live here. I just love this so much. But I want to show you how I go back to a place that I've been to before and relive it in a new way, but also the familiar things, similar to where you live at home. There's certain places that you love that you just continue to love to go to. But one place is the Musée de Cluny, which I've never been to that I want to go to. And it's the Museum of the Middle Ages. It has one of the richest medieval collections of the world, with sculpture, furnishings, stained glass. They have the beautiful unicorn tapestry cycle called La Dame Licorne or whatever. And just old, beautiful things of the medieval Renaissance period that I seem to just always have drawn to. I love tapestry. I've got a lot of old world kind of feeling things in my house, and I just love it. And there's something drawn me to this museum. I just want to share that with my listeners. I don't know what it is, but it's like from another dimension. So I'll come back and share with you if I feel any kind of serious deja vu moment when I go there. But after that, I'm going to head to the Place Saint-Germain de Prés, where it's beautiful old church that I've actually been to before, but I want to go back in, light another candle, take some photographs, because it's the oldest church in Paris. It's the only Romanesque building that still is intact in Paris. So I want to take some photographs there. And then right across from there is Café Flore and Brasserie Lip. And I think I'm going to have dinner at Brasserie Lip. Like one of my trips, I stayed in the Hotel Saint-Germain-des-Prés, which is right there on the square. It's a little boutique hotel, wonderful hotel. So when I stayed there one time, every night I would go and have a glass of wine at Café Flore. One evening, I had a wonderful dinner at Brasserie Lip, but boy, I must tell you, I remember those waiters, and they were classic Parisian. They were put out on anything you wanted. I mean, you had to wait for the check for 4 to 5 minutes. I mean, what are you doing in here? But the food was great, so I'm going to give them another chance. And so I probably will have a glass of wine at Café La Flore and walk back to my hotel. Next day, we'll be back to the 16th, serious 16th day, where basically this is Studio Hawkoff photo shoot day. So in the morning, I will go to the Musée Marmontant, which is in a 19th century gorgeous mansion in this fabulous posh area of Paris where the real old money lives. But this houses the world's largest collection of Monet's paintings. It's touted as the secret gem for art lovers. It's fabulous. Supposedly, I think Monet's son donated a lot of the paintings that are in here. And they're not as well known as the ones in other museums all over the world. So I'm real excited about going to see this mansion in this area and these paintings. Then after that, another super lunch will be at the Cristal Room at the Bacharach Mansion and Museum, where this restaurant is like, oh, beautiful. And it's filled with Bacharach chandeliers, sconces, glasses on the table, centerpieces, the whole. I mean, this is Paris over the top. You get my drift. It's in the 16th. So I'm excited about a lunch there. I'm not going to linger too much because then I'm going to head over to Studio Hawkoff. It's close, though. And it's not in the same place that it was when I took my photograph where the original studio is, but it still has the same feel. It has stairs going up with red carpet. You're greeted in basically a foyer, a greeting room. You're sat down. You can have a glass of champagne, whatever. Then you get your makeup and your hair done before the shoot. You're taken into the photography room that is very dark with all the movie star lights, and then you sit for your sitting. And it usually takes about 2.5. I have a 3-hour schedule because they take a lot of photographs and they take a lot of time. So I'm super excited about this. I just think it's in the heavens or in the stars that this is coming together. But if you want to do this, if this is something where you really want a classic photograph taken for you that will have a real cachet that can be handed down in your family and you're going to Paris, make an appointment. Now, you do have to have reservations in advance because I think they only really do it on Wednesday, Thursdays, and Fridays now. I'm not really sure if they are open to do this every day, but that will be my afternoon. Then I'm going to head over to the Hotel Ritz. I'm going to go to the Hemingway Bar. I'm going to TGIF Parisian style. And I'm going to have little finger foods. The last time I went, I had sliders. My son was with me. And the Bar Hemingway is really still one of the classic watering holes for Paris. They have the most famous bartender now there in Paris, might be in the world. And what he does is he creates bespoke cocktails for you. You go up to him, you start talking to him, everything, and he will create a cocktail especially for you. So that's what I'm going to treat myself to after I have my photo session. So I'll stay there as long as I feel like I want to be there. And then I'll go back to the hotel. I might go up on the rooftop and go to bed. So the next day will be the last full day. And I can tell you, a melancholy is already starting in talking about it. I don't want to go home. But it'll be spent also in the 16th. I plan to start the day at the Palais de Tokyo Museum, which is a modern and contemporary art museum. They describe it now as the most trendy museum in Paris. Lots of cutting-edge things being presented there. I'll have lunch at the Monsieur Bleu restaurant in the Palais de Tokyo, which is a Michelin star restaurant. And it is where the fashionable set dine here, especially for like lunch during the day. And on the weekend when they maybe come to this area, because it's right across from the Eiffel Tower. It's on the other side of the river. So it's just beautiful, the setting that this museum is in on the outside and everything. So that's where I'm going to eat lunch. Then next door to this museum is the Paris Museum of Modern Art. So that's where really the modern art is focused. The last thing I had planned is the Palais Galleria, which is in that area, which is the Fashion History Museum of Paris, but it is closed until 2019, so I'm going to miss it. But I've decided that I'm just going to walk the streets of the 16th, go by 49 Avenue Diana, where Jacques and Cosette lived, and take some pictures of that, where my father was all the time when he was there, and also take some Eiffel Tower photos and just spend that last afternoon maybe having a cup of coffee or whatever, wherever. Then I'll come back to the hotel. I'll probably dine in the hotel that night because the restaurant is quite good, and have my last nightcap on the rooftop. I'll pack in between dinner and the nightcap and go to sleep. Then I'll wake up and know I have to get serious and head home. But before I do that, I'll take a cab to Café Crête if I can't really walk there. I think I can, but it depends on when I wake up because I have to leave downtown at around 10 o'clock to catch my flight in the afternoon. But I'm going to have my breakfast at Café Corette, which is supposed to be the best place to have breakfast in Paris, as well as it is known for one of the best patisseries in Paris. And their macaroons are fabulous, like La Durie, but they're made in the 16th, so what can you say? This is the place where the old Parisians go. But I'll have my breakfast there, and I'll say goodbye to Paris and head to the airport. So, Catherine, this is my jam-packed plan for Paris. And I realize I have way too many things to do, see, and experience. But like I said at the beginning of the answer to this question, my itineraries really are just guidelines for my daily activities. If serendipity gets me off my schedule, and I go with the flow of the moment, and if I think what's happening is important. So I might not go back to the 8th in Faubourg Saint-Honoré or go to the spa. I might have to go back and do Musée d'Orsay because something took me off track. And you never know, but I'm always kind of redoing everything. But I know where they are, so I shift all the activities so I don't waste time. And then if I can't do it all, I hope I get to return again to Paris. So I must say, I'm thrilled with this Paris agenda. It has something old and familiar. Like I said, places that I've been to before, streets that I've walked down before. And then there is plenty of new. The opera that I wanted to go to, Opera Garnier, so much. All the 16th arrondissement activities. The new and wonderful restaurant lists that I've compiled that I have not been to, most of which are Michelin star restaurants. I'm so excited. I can hardly wait to go. It's pitiful. So what I would like, and if you're interested in this trip, follow me on social media. I'll be leaving on the 4th of November and coming back on the 11th, and I'll be posting during the trip and after the trip. So you can follow me on all social media, Astrid Travel, and that will get you there. I guess all good things have to come to an end, Catherine, so we're going to have to say goodbye to this podcast. But I really would like to sign off by saying, if you found the podcast to be informative, we would appreciate a big thumbs up. And if you have any questions or comments about Paris or the information that I have shared with you today, you should feel free to let us know what you're thinking, and we'll get back to you. Because I know a lot of people will listen and then they think, well, I want to ask this question. They're a little embarrassed or they don't want. Look, just I love questions. I love to hear from my listeners. And if you found the podcast beneficial, share it, because anybody who listens to it or you think would benefit from it in my Paris travel tips, by all means do. And then the last thing, but definitely not the least, is subscribe to Solo Travel Talk, because when you subscribe, it pushes the broadcast out to a broader audience each time worldwide. So they can benefit from all the information that I am sharing about solo travel, my experiences, my travel tips, my do's and don'ts, my insight of over 40 years of solo travel, and my enthusiasm for it, and people who might be wanting to do it, but they're on the fence. So when you subscribe, that helps it to get to more listeners. It's kind of like pay it forward. So I'll say goodbye, and thanks for listening.
Listeners, after this show, you really have to be following Astrid on social media, because not only is this great Paris trip coming up, but it's photography is the theme. So you've got to be following her on social media. Her pictures are always amazing. You know what also is amazing? Astrid has a complimentary packing list just for you. If you just go to her website, astridtravel.com, right there on the homepage is a place that you can put in your email and get her packing list right away. That'll help you have less stress the next time you are throwing things in your bag to take off to Paris or some other wonderful location. This podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spotify, any fine place that podcasts can be found. We thank you so much for listening to Solo Travel Talk. For right now, we say au revoir, and we'll see you next week. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or Solo Travel Advisors, visit our website, astridtravel.com.